Well, you are lumped into KBFK, which is a homeopathic retrieval of human scale, a semi-literate TV generation, the fake left is built. Hey, Bill Mitchell, the fake left. That's a homeopathic retrieval. That's
by the way,
sir.
By the way, that.
But
that...
I know you have a bit of manipulation satire in yourself, and you don't like to present yourself as part of that. You were inside the environment, so you can't escape it, but I appreciate the valiance of your effort, Dave, not to be tagged with that effect.
By the way, that comment of Bill is going to be recapitulated on his second and upcoming appearance on Orange County Cable. So let's go to another caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Bob Dobbs.
Oh, Tariq.
Give us a little explanation of the top-down identity power bureaucracy.
Thank you. Tariq, I want to. Do you think that was Robert Anton Wilson, the second caller?
The second caller sounded like him, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say that to Robert that you did not respond to Tariq's questions that accurately, and you notice in you hear the tape of the show, Tariq sounds a little disappointed as he hangs up. But that's why Tariq is a some genius, and he's working for me. And people like Ned, angry at you, Robert, for talking about caller to get Valium and things like that. This kind of insulting on the fake left anthropomorphic retrieval of the Celtic wizard modality is something that doesn't wash totally in the electric environment because you're talking to all types of people. So you got to be all points of view.
Sure.
So, Tariq, you want me to explain the chart?
Yeah.
And this is the chart in the
top-down identity power bureaucracy.
It starts off, well, what could I say? It's a big chart. What? Give me an angle on it.
Okay, start with the
global government?
The global village.
All right. The global village is a product of visual space or the manuscript culture. The difference between the West and the East is the effect of the phonetic alphabet. So the manuscript culture of both the East and West had a twinge of difference and logic sequential thought orientation in the West due to the effect of the phonetic alphabet. And in the medieval period, the West was unified by the language of Latin. So it was a global village in the medieval period. But when the printing press came in, it evoked the national extension and expression. Now, I have in the chart, the secret government in the phonetic alphabet period is the Illuminati. And that is the oligarchic families who can still be found in Italy, the Roman group. They're the ones that killed Christ.
Right.
And then that generally has ups and downs. When the phonetic alphabet disappears and the papyrus is cut off, I won't say the phonetic alphabet disappears. When papyrus is cut off by the Egyptians by 400 AD, then that kind of Illuminati center margin control diminishes, so we move into what is called the Dark Ages, which is acoustic culture. And you notice that Byzantium did not have a Dark Age because they were not based on the phonetic alphabet.
Right.
So that flourished. Byzantium flourished in the late, 700 to 1200. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we move into the effect of the printing press, which retrieves the Illuminati through price systems and the Fugger newsletter. So out of that...
The what?
The Fugger newsletter. You can read about it in my
Poland's
Take Today. It was the turn and taxis postal system that was the new medium of center margin control and espionage was done through the postal system. This centered out of Venice. So that's 1500. Then when the electric age comes in with the invention and discovery and retrieval electricity by Ben Franklin, as the scientists start to develop, the effects start to appear before the actual electric environment of the telegraph in 1840. So as these effects surface, the Illuminati and the oligarchs start to panic, and they have to react to the printing press revolutions of France and America, and so they integrate the Fondo. Now, the Fondo is the accumulated wealth run by the chartered accountants of the royal noble families, not just the noble families we know of, but ones we don't know of. The accumulated visual space value of that pricing system wealth is called singularly a fondo, and the plural of fondo is fondi. Lyndon LaRouche is the great historian of this process. The fondi integrates as a corporation by 1840 under the decentralizing effect of the telegraph. All right?
Yep.
Then the world government, that is like a world government right there, but it's made official with the League of Nations in 1918. That is the end of the global village. The global theater is the electric environment that goes around the global village. Global village being the bankers in simple terms. When the banking situation collapses in 1929 due to the electric effect of radio and money freaks out and information takes over the currency, you then have a rapid series of control on the anthropomorphic nature level of solar government, that's sort of running the show from the moon, the laser beam level in 1960, where a new technology which is not an environment but is important for weaponry and secret intelligence superiority, secret intelligence factions, the laser beam is a government by the very fact it's invented. And then comes mass man, which is in 1977, the Illuminati have disappeared. They're still there as a historical medium of visual space. But in 77, when everything disappeared, they replay the image of popularity or the common denominator delimited by the polls or the poltergeist that is played back to the people from 77 to 90 as a form of control. So Reaganism was a mass man image.
Mm.
By 1990, the Illuminati, everything is disappeared again to the second degree, so the Illuminati is retrieved by me.
Mm.
And that's a quick, I'm just turning over the tape here, getting this on record, but that's a quick run through, but one has to look at the
Actually,
chart.
We're getting it on
right.
tape.
I think, Rick, you just wanted me to run through it for the benefit of others since you already had it personally explained to you.
And also explain the what.
Is that right? You had it personally explained to you before?
Huh? What?
You wanted me to run through it because you didn't need the answer.
No,
you wanted
to
put
people
on the record because you had it personally explained to you privately.
Right, and I want the people to understand this.
Thank you.
And I also want to explain.
What, the manuscript culture. The difference between the West and the East is the effect of the phonetic alphabet. So the manuscript culture of both the East and West had a twinge of difference and logic, sequential thought orientation in the West due to the effect of the phonetic alphabet. And in the medieval period...
The tape, I think, repeats. I will just go move it forward a bit, see if any new stuff comes on.
All okay. The mythic logical environments are no longer controlling people. In a sense, it's no longer the medium is the message. Electric autonomy is the message. Every one of us wears all these...
Let's go back. I don't know. That's different.
Eastern TV?
Yes, but they're not visual. Singularly, a fondo, and the plural of fondo is fondi. Lyndon LaRouche is the great historian of this process. The fondi integrate as a corporation by 1840. Under the decentralizing effect of the telegraph. All right?
Yep.
Then the world government, that is like a world government right there, but it's made official with the League of Nations in 1918. That is the end of the global village. The global theater is the electric environment that goes around the global village, being the bankers in simple terms. When the banking situation collapses in 1929 due to the electric effect of radio, and money freaks out and information takes over as a currency, you then have a rapid series of control on the anthropomorphic nature level of solar government, that's sort of running the show from the moon, the laser beam level in 1960, where a new technology which is not an environment but is important for weaponry and secret intelligence superiority, secret intelligence factions, the laser beam is a government by the very fact it's invented. And then comes mass man, which is in 1977, the Illuminati have disappeared. They're still there as a historical medium of visual space. But in 77, when everything disappeared, they replay the image of popularity or the common denominator delimited by the polls or the poltergeist that is played back to the people from 77 to 90 as a form of control. So Reaganism was a mass man image.
Mm.
By 1990, the Illuminati, everything is disappeared again to the second degree, so the Illuminati is retrieved by me.
Hmm.
I just want to say that's me predicting Ion. We are the present Illuminati. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, there's so much just, you know. Like, I think I told you last time, I'm still on this Dick kick, Philip K. Dick, you know? And
Dick kick? Dick what?
I'm a... Philip K. Dick, the guy who wrote.
Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
Well, my stuff includes him.
Yeah, there's a kinship there, you know. So, like, And I've never really done this before because my brain is too restless, you know. I'm too, like, I read several books at once, but I'm actually stopped all that, and I'm just kind of reading the Library of America compilation of Philip Dick, so I'm reading it from the first book in there, so I'm on Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which, you know, there's just so many. What I'm saying is that is, like, kind of tilled the soil of my brain to be receptive to all the blitzkrieg of things that you just said.
Yeah.
In that clip.
I'm glad to play that. That's for people today. That's for Alyssa. It's about the chart. It's an earlier chart that I'm explaining there. But now I think I say some new stuff. So I'm just going to move it forward because this was repeated.
And that's a quick...
Let's see where we're getting...
They're turning over the tape here, getting this on record. But one has to look at the chart.
We're getting it on
the
tape.
I think, Rick, you just wanted me to run through it for the benefit of others, since you already had it personally explained to you.
And also explain the what.
Is that right? You had it personally explained to you before?
What?
You wanted me to run through it because you didn't need the answer.
No,
you wanted to put on the record. Because you had it personally explained to you privately.
Right, and I want the people to understand this.
Thank you.
And I also want to explain.
Any more?
Explain what is meant by only puny secrets need protection. Big discoveries are protected by public incredulity.
So that's excellent. Basically, that's what Marshall meant by the medium is a message and the content wasn't important. Any information, news, visual, acoustic, or graphic, is mere fodder and baby powder that gets into the dust of the new discarnate man. So all contact, all information can never accomplish anything because it's inside the tactile mesh. And the very thing that I just explained, the top-down chart plus the bottom-up, are the real changes in mankind's history, which people don't believe. They don't believe the medium is the message. They don't know that the television screen created LSD, a pattern of preference for inner tripping. They don't know this. So they're going to concentrate on who killed Bambi.
Godzilla. Take another call. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, the reality is what you can get away with. The one caller went Millennium Madness today, and they can call area code 310-JFK-9393 and find out more information. There's going to be Robert Anton Wilson there, Paul Krasner, Jack Herrera, Timothy Leary, and it should be a good time. It should be had by all.
Yeah, we got any points to make? We already talked about this for 30 minutes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you're not listening. Well, we're actually going to get mad and turn you off, but you got a question quick?
No, I just wanted to make sure everyone goes to Millennium Madness.
Well, we already had Robert Anton Wilson talking to me. You might want to play the dialogue at the show.
Anyway.
Okay, I got to go to the next question.
Well, we don't have a call, so...
No, we do. Here's the Roy of Hollywood question.
Yes.
He wanted to know, he expressed on the show a couple weeks ago, he never understood the difference between television and movies. Marshall said there was a huge difference between the TV environment and the movie environment.
Would you say movies are more visual space than TV?
Yes, but they're not visual space. They are kinetic space. The visual space is the alphabet in the book, which is an extension of the eye. The movie is an extension of the eye and the foot. You travel outwardly like walking when you watch movies. When you watch television, you're witnessing the extension of the eye and the head. The hand is a tactile medium. So that, on the sensory level, is a difference, but technically...
Well, wait a minute. I don't understand the thing of the hand. You explain the foot, so explain the hand.
The hand is the ability to rub and then let go. The interval, the ability to grasp and let go, which the arboreal apes, the tree-embedded apes, learn before they get out of the jungle. It's the ability to hold and then let go and to juggle and relate all the matter around you. That's hand. That's tactile.
Well, how does that relate to television?
Television, the extension of tactile sense, it is obviously an interplay of sight and sound. We all know that. But for many people, these images evoke sounds, evoke smells and kinetic motion. So it is an interplay of all the senses. All right?
Okay.
But here's the key difference, is that when you watch a movie, you're looking at a medium that is light reflected off a wall.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering if it was related to visual space.
Yeah, it is slightly related to light, light on or light reflected, as the light off the printed page is. But it is not alphabetic. It is ideogrammic. You're looking at actual photographs of people who look like what they look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
gestures there. But the important thing about television, it is light through. And what that means is, as light is reflected off the movie, it is a state of reflection, but the television and the cathode ray tube is an emission, an emitting of light. That's the simplest way to describe it. Now, the other factor is that the television environment is something that's simultaneous. Everybody can engage in the content at the same time. But if you go to a theater, only the 20 to 200 people in the theater can experience the content.
Another thing is, if you put television programming on tape, you can experience it any time, not when someone else decides.
That's right. That starts to create electric autonomy, which is the hidden ground to the aesthetic of the Millennium Madness and the chaos, is that all these mythic stages, it's another meaning of Lockdown Bob Rule, all the mythic technological environments are no longer controlling people. In a sense, it's no longer the medium is the message, electric autonomy is the message. Every one of us wears all these environments. So, yes, we are free.
Let me go to something else here, because we still don't have any other callers, 985-5735. You know, there used to be, in the 30s, the screens actually had small glass beads on them, which they don't anymore. Now, I've been told that this actually created something that looked ethereal. These images seem to be, excuse me a minute, suspended in space. And the later screens, they are not like that. They are much more flat and more do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Now, on some TVs, the new TVs, you will not be projected. It's like the LED-style screens, as well as the projection screens, the oversized TV, which are just like movies.
That's right. That's why Marshall always recommended, Marshall McLuhan in the 60s, to increase the lines of TV on the screen so that you have a stronger reflection of the movie effect and have a sense of retrieving the literate effects of movies versus the total low-definition effect of the TV screen.
Well, this is HDTV.
We're going to have retrieval visual values and electric autonomy on the left hemisphere sense of it with high-definition television. You're right.
Okay, now we got a couple of calls. Let's go to a call. You're on the air.
Another thing about the television is, as opposed to film, is that the screen is so small that it doesn't allow your eyes to move enough, and it'll put you in an alpha state just naturally, physiologically.
Yeah, you're right. The watching of the ball go back and forth in the tennis game is a retrieval of the movie medium effect. You're right. The dyslexic effect comes from TV. It stops the movement of the eyeball. You're right.
I guess that was it. Let's go on to another caller here. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to ask Bob what he thinks is going to happen to books and novels.
Who?
Books and novels. Years.
Nothing is old under the sun. They used to say McLuhan was wrong because they said the book was obsolete. What he meant by obsolete was obsolescence. It was prominent. When something becomes greatly expanded, it's obsolete. So if it works, it's obsolete. If it's obsolete, it works. So we're going to have floods of visual space dumped on us, and we've had that the last 30 years, which confused people's understanding of McLuhan's maxim. The point is that books and novels don't have a perceptual effect on us as a new environment like they did in 1500 to 1600.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we will always have every medium. That's why we can't get rid of the IMF and the international bankers. The visual medium of money will always be there as part of tetrad management, and so will books and novels. But in general, we'll move into virtual reality, and learning how to read will be an acquired specialty like falcon hunting.
Well, books feel nice in your hands.
That's
too.
Right. That's another characteristic of books. They are actually tactile. In reference to your question, was it you just said about the smallness of the television?
That was two callers ago.
The portability and smallness of the television is complemented by the portability of the paperback. And so, as Marsh used to say, he did not find the paperback a visual medium. It was a tactile medium for him. And, that's an important effect.
Okay, we got another call. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Is it Bob?
Yep.
I can hear something wrong with my phone. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, Bob, I listen to KPFK once a while when I'm not busy. One time, for fun, I opened the World Peace, Justice, and Progress organization and trying to tell the president and leaders and church people, trying to tell them to stop the important things, you know, like killing people in Saudi or dealing with the wise people like Iranians. So teaching America for thousands of years. Listen to Old Father. That's the things I used to say.
Right. They're not in, those people, you're calling the wrong people, they're not in control. Bill Clinton is nowhere near the control that's necessary.
Well, it's a corporation, so far I understood. But, see, I try to have a solution since I always didn't get the money because I do these kind of things. See, my mother was the granddaughter of Chiva Bakhtir, the owner of Persian Oil, and they controlled the country until they get rid of them. Because they're chiefs, they don't sell the country. This is a story.
Yeah, the control is digital state.
My name is Mudarris, is Ayatollah Mudarris. 1917, English people get rid of it. He's a hero. He was Gandhi, not like a stupid one we got recently.
Right.
So I listen to important people and I call them, like ex-CIA people that Mary, her name was. I told her, your name is Maryam. ABCD is not correct. You guys don't speak in correct English. It's Aleph, Bet, Sid, Dal. Language come from Iran and India 7,000 years ago.
That's
so anyway,
right, but it was
important.
The phonetic alphabet is improvised by the Greek inventors that changed the meaning for the alphabet before that.
Yeah,
went from
like they have 2,000 years building.
Phony.
They learned from Iranian how to put the arch.
You're talking the content. The content comes from Africa.
You know how it is. Even Jesus is always blonde. He's supposed to be my color. Anyway, 98% of course.
Yeah, the content. The original content is Africa.
Because I didn't hear from you too much, and I don't know, you're underground organization things, or you do peace and justice, or...
Yeah, I that's called Tetra Management. I've created the, basically the last 5 years that you've heard about on the media, and all the effects and inventions and AIDS research was controlled and implemented by myself. It's hard to believe, but the world is in the state now where Orpheus can tune the world. El Shankar gave Zappa a plaster bust of Apollo for his birthday. And the point is, that's acoustic space. He's Apollo acoustic space, but I'm the Apollo Orpheus tuner of the world on the tactile, more comprehensive level.
Bob, I got a friend, he always said, talk to me hamburger language. He was
hamburger? That's Captain Beefheart. There are 40 people in the world, and 5 of them are hamburgers.
I used to call Roy a few times. And,
yeah, Roy will probably feature me a lot on the show after everybody responds to this dialogue.
Yeah, and I'm not too familiar with all organizations, since I'm busy also defending all the world instead of just Iranians. See, I'm Persian, whatever.
Okay, it looks like time's up for you.
Okay,
bye. Gotta go.
Here we go, another caller, you're on the air.
Yes, you forgot one ultimate icon whose birthday is today, and that's Bob Hope, and I think he probably would transcend many generations, and where does he fit in all this?
Well, he's the real anti-Bob.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
Right. Bob Hope is an agent of the Vatican. We know that Archbishop Marcink has visited him in the middle of the P2 scandals in the early 80s. Just a minute. What, Connie? I thought somebody yelled. Just a second. So, yeah, Bob Hope is used by Reverend Stang in the Book of the Subgenius. Bob is our hope. Hope is our Bob. Certainly, I'm glad you mentioned him, but, you know, he is the pink comedian of all time.
And don't forget, our president comes from hope.
Ah, very good, very good. And hope is what we all need today, and certainly you're going to get the most potent from me.
Yeah, well, good luck on today, and I really appreciate your dialogue this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye.
Do you have a question? There's someone here who has a question, Dave. How can we acousticize tetrad management? The question is, how can we acousticize tetrad management? That is what we're doing right now. Tetrad management is involved in implementing the effects of all mixed corporate media, but we're using the bias of telephone and radio right now, so we're extending the ear. This is acousticizing tetrad management, the complex clairvoyant effects of me interacting on May 29th in this area, and remember, it's also being picked up by satellite for the whole world. That is what we're achieving today.
Let me ask you another one. How come I prefer radio to television?
Because you're semi-literate. Maybe even literate.
Wait a minute. Since I produce both.
Yeah, I know. But you prefer radio because you're about 40 years old or so. You come out of the 40s and 50s. You were basically literized before you were TV sodomized. And the effect of radio, even though it's an acoustic environment, it's high definition, so it has a visual effect.
That's another reason.
That's why you are preferring radio.
Well, there's another reason, and maybe you'd like to comment on this.
The dialogue aspect is also.
Well, I can do an entire radio production myself. But with television, if I'm the talent, I also have to have a camera person, a switcher, an audio person, someone to do...
Right. The radio gives you the sensation of electric autonomy more.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we got another caller here. Let's see. Which one called first? I'm going to try this one. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes. You're on the air with Tim Leary.
Yes, yes, Bob. I'd like to talk to Bob, please.
Yeah, he's right here.
My question is, what is your comment on the physics of room temperature superconductivity as a metaphor for the coming paradigm shift in energy?
That's very important because that is the basic metaphor that Marshall used. He called media hot and cool, hot and cold. Okay, so room temperature was what he was talking about. You change the sensory typology with a different medium. Now, superconductivity is moving at the speed of light. And what was the last phrase?
The coming paradigm shift in energy consumption and use.
Yes, the paradigm shift is a figure for the ground. My charts illustrate the reasons for the various conceptual paradigm shifts, and we've had many since 1945. On energy, the real paradigm shift, as advocated by Lyndon LaRouche, and he's on the right track despite what William Irwin Thompson says, is fusion energy. Fusion energy is going to give us incredible electric autonomy.
That's what Mike O'Dell
cold
used to say.
Fusion. Which one?
Cold fusion.
You've seen cold fusion?
Yeah, the Utah experiment is real. The Japanese proved it last year. It's being suppressed by Tom Tuché and the pinks in the media about what is happening around the universities in the world, proving cold fusion, and we're going to have it within 7 years.
Okay, that's, wait a minute. I'm going to,
right now.
We're going to have to go.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody wants to send a self-addressed stamped envelope for the chart, write to Dave Porter.
At KPFK.
Bye.
Thank you.
And thank you, Bob. Let's do this again sometime.
Okay, Dave, I'll hold you to that. Maybe it may take another 10 years, but you got to do it one more time because you just said it.
Well, it hasn't been 10 years since we first contacted.
That's right, and thank you for broadcasting my predictions. They were real. It's on the public record. Nobody else would do it, and the world loves the funny. I would certainly not publicize it.
Phony. Phony. Not funny. Phony.
That's Television Kills Telephony in Brothers Brawl, page 52 of Phineas Wake.
Okay, take care, Bob.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye. And that was Bob Dobbs. And this is David Porter with Genesis of the Music. Stay tuned for John Davis. And I'll be back next week, Bill Mitchell, at 7:30.
Bob? Are you awake? The tape ended.
Tape? How long ago?
15 seconds.
Okay, good.
So that was a good interview. What do you think of that, guys?
Yeah.
Who's ever here?
I'm here.
Alex is here.
Hey.
You're getting a head cold tonight,
Bob,
man.
Thank you for playing that. So I want to tell you this. So I'm lying in bed, and I have this. I'm in, like, I've made the downstairs front room into like my bedroom sort of, and I'm looking up the staircase, and I'm getting like spirit mood. Like, this house wants to be haunted, but I'm surprised it hasn't been. The woman who owns it used to work downstairs in the basement, and she said she'd be downstairs and she'd hear like heavy boot steps on the going upstairs. So I'm like, okay, this is a haunted house for sure. But this is the first night of, you know, maybe it's the wee hours of the morning here in Iowa. It's like 2:30 a.m. or whatever. But I definitely just saw something run, like move, like slither almost along the top floor. Like, cause
okay.
I can see it. There's an open space. Just wanted you to know.
Right.
Don't know if that's generated by what that's generated by.
It's the playing of that tape, because we've got about 300 ghosts in our home. Ian said that when we first came here, we were in a smaller place, and they said you had to, and that was 9 months before Ian showed up, and then 3 months before Ian showed up, we moved to a bigger house, and Ian said that would be necessary. We didn't know it, because when Ian showed up, it would draw all these ghosts to us. So we got about 300 ghosts in here since 2009.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've wondered about that, yeah.
you will see them out of the corner of your eye. Like, you'll just see them off in your peripheral vision, and you look, and then maybe see something, maybe not. But they are visible to us through the periphery of your eyeball. That's
right. There's a lot of that, but I just saw something directly, like, you know, like it was like a slithery pinkish orange thing that just, like, you know, at the top of the stairs turn, and there's like a couple more steps to go up. So it was right there. I can see through the open space, and I got those, you know, those shivers you get when you see that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a natural human reaction. Yeah. And then it went away. So, it's like almost like part of my life. Like I've had many encounters over my life, but I've been in kind of a dormant period lately. So it's almost like I'm glad to, be my old friends. It's kind of weird.
Good. You said you had many ghost encounters?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You mean tell you one?
What? You've seen ghosts?
Well, I've seen shadows.
Oh, okay. And yeah, nobody
I'm
attacked
not...
you?
No.
You can't be much of a threat to anybody then.
I mean, I just, you know, it's an extension. Is that the astral plane?
Yes. Well, Ian goes into it in more detail. It's not as simple as the... Ian says ghosts are the electrical afterimage of your knowing of the person. If you know the ghost... It's an after image of what you recall. So ghosts are in the physical. They don't go to the more ethereal planes or whatever it is that we go to when you transition.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts are more here. They're like what you remember of the person.
Oh, yeah. All right.
What your vibration, what magnetized to you magnetically.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's just, Ian has said different things at different times about ghosts, different angles on it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just remembered something. Yeah, so my father transitioned in December 29th, 2012.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard from him until I was in this house one evening. All the lights were on. I was fucking around. I had, like, my mattress on its side against the front wall, and I was throwing a baseball against it. And I all of a sudden had this feeling of warmth and presence in the house, and I knew it was him. And so it's almost like since that happened, since that portal or whatever opened, I've had, like, more ghostly feelings in the house.
You mean since you saw your father?
Since I felt him, yeah.
Felt your father, right.
Yeah, and he was contacting me. He was, like, kind of, like, talking to me. I was talking to him out loud, kind of joking with him, asking him if I could borrow $200, you know, just usual. It was just a good feeling.
What'd you
say? Good,
you were trying to get him to play Bach and Turner Overdrive?
What? Is that
what
you thought I said? I asked him if I could borrow $200.
Oh, from him. Like you used to.
Yeah, right.
The same kind of son. You hadn't changed.
Right, exactly. But then since that incident, which was about maybe a month ago, there's been more, what would you call it? Psychic activity, ectoplasm, I don't know what the hell you call it. But you know what I mean, ghostly stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Activity.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting there, Alex. You know, interdimensional communication going on for you. Or unless it's all just from the physical plane, slightly removed, as Ion describes it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I really appreciate you playing that your radio show. Very informative. Kind of helps me get more context.
Go back and re-listen to it. It's in the archives. You know, I said some basic points there.
All right,
you can listen to it in the archives.
Where can I find it?
Go to ionandbob.com. Ionandbob.com. And you will see posted under the new coach host, the latest show. And that should be for the next few days. That'll be the top post on the home page.
Cool. All right. Well, I thanks a lot, Bob. Really enjoyed talking to you. I really enjoy interacting with you and the people that are also calling in. So it's been enlightening.
Well, you've contributed. So keep call back. Keep your education going.
I will.
We're on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Okay. All right. Take it easy, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Alex. I appreciate what you contributed.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Okay, so what? You're welcome.
What?
So we're left with Sean and Leon. Oh, and there seems to be Nate. Nate is back? Nate Vibration? Or Alyssa? Their phone is here. Maybe they're talking to Neufeld. Anybody want to say anything, or are you all asleep?
Hi, Bob. It's Sean, I've sent the noise
Sean,
to school.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, you...
It's Sean,
here. Your accent.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you say about school? Getting ready for school?
I said, I sent all the noise to school.
No, I didn't get that.
So
you're what?
I sent the noisy kids to school. Send them to school. Off to school.
So what's the first words? You sink them?
Send.
Oh, you sent the noise to school. All right.
Yeah.
I get you. Okay. So what, you're free.
Very good. Your sessions with Alyssa is very, very nice to see how she interprets things different to you, but then you both bring it together, and it's sort of helping me break my biases of my...
Of your ignorance. Like, the biases of your ignorance.
Yes. Exactly. So
that's awesome.
Very good.
Yeah. Alyssa was good. Alex was good. What I played was good. Neufeld was good. The whole show has been interesting.
Oh, it's really good. And a nice little anomaly with, I think you mentioned last, on Tuesday, this blue rose as for the channel thing. So about 2 days before that, Eileen got herself some stick-on fake tattoos, and it had these blue roses in it. So when you said it, I wasn't home, so I couldn't go check. And then now when I heard you say it again, I looked, and it is, she had three roses left. One's a blue rose. And on the top it says magic tattoos, because she just played all this magician stuff from the Twin Peaks, which was, that was really good, Bob.
Yeah.
That almost gave me goosebumps.
Yes.
And
Twin Peaks. You can't watch Twin Peaks?
I'm going to watch it, but I want like a full day, like a Saturday, and just watch four in a row or something. I'm getting myself ready for that. Yeah, and then underneath the tattoo, under one tattoo, I think it says Dotty or something, but because it's mirrored, it's a bee. It makes this big bee, and then there's this blue rose.
right.
And what is that?
You're seeing blue rose? Where?
This is a tattoo Eileen bought herself on Monday.
And it says blue rose?
No, it is a blue rose. There's a blue rose.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a picture of a blue rose. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a tattoo in this magician thing. He mentions a tattoo on the left shoulder. I'm just thinking, oh, this is too wonderful.
Yeah.
And it makes a big,
that's neat.
It looks like a bee. I'll send you a little picture on your Facebook.
Okay. All right. Good?
Yeah. Bob's vision stands to be true.
No.
It's resonating everywhere.
Stands proven. Prophetic.
Proven.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
what
so
I had
exist.
Done was predicted there.
Yeah. That word exists as well that you said?
Xis.
The Xis has landed. Yeah, the X-I-S-T-S.
Yeah.
Yeah. It the almost Xis. Sounds like exists. Yeah, it exists.
It is.
It sounds.
Yeah, existence.
So good.
Yeah, the UFOs are existence. They exist. They exist. The Xis.
Xis.
Well,
amazing,
I got
Bob.
Beg your pardon?
I say it's really amazing.
It is.
Really good.
No. We're waiting for Bert to ask a question. Bert said, great interview, Bob. Bert was listening. Now we get him to type up a question for me so we can get through the last 20 minutes. We got 20 minutes to fill. 20 minutes. So what are you going to do to help me to end this?
I've got another anomaly that was quite cool.
What was another anomaly?
I'll tell you. I can tell you now if there's time. So
yeah,
I got a worky job so that I can, all the junkies need to get my RNA fix. And
okay, no, you got to be more clear. You got a job.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
To get my RNA fix, the junkies are going back to work for their job.
The
anyway,
junkies, did you say?
Yeah, we are the RNA
okay.
junkies.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what you typed in the chat line. Did you call? You said RNA junkies. Yeah, yay.
Yeah,
JJ Bob's Garage
the garage
called RNA
band.
Junkies. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
The garage band. Anyway,
yeah.
When you mentioned a few shows back on the chat line, they were talking about number 22 being your number and stuff. And then I mentioned the bus route to my home 2 or 22. And later on, Dr. Dean was on saying she's force-fielding me, and she force-fielded Sarah. And it was like she's sending us love. And this job I got is at a lady's house at number 2, and all her pillows in her conservatory and stuff has these letters written on them, and then it says, with love from Connie.
Wow.
So.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is so lovely.
Yes, yeah. Connie sent the love. It got you a job, and then there were pillows with Connie on it at the job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do you
and
do
the
with the job?
Also, that was also very strange because I got it so quickly. Within 3 days, I was in the job, where usually you wait 2 weeks for a reply, and then you go for your interview and... Anyway, so that it was very quick, and I thought it was going to be looking after people with mental disabilities, because I wanted a night job in case I have to work nights so I can still do the show. And I found this, the job said you only work 2 hours, then you can sleep, basically. So then I knew, okay, I'll be able to still do the show. But when I got there, it was all it was private, so it's not for, I'm not working for a company. It's private, and it's for a lady who's just been told she's going to die. And it looks like she doesn't want it. It looks like maybe I can tell her about the products. And I didn't want to make it about that, but it just worked out like that. And she's got all these with love Connie pillows all over the place. It's just... I'm just sitting with my mouth open looking at all this. And usually I'll have restraints. I'll have restraints if I work for a company and I knew this. So I thought, I'm just going to go in, do my job, go home, because you can't promote products, you can't talk about anything. And
right.
I'm actually now in a situation where there's no restraints. It's just me and her, and I'm just slowly seeing, looking, reading her, you know, seeing... And on the
good
day, 2 days ago, she went to like a bone doctor. And I said to her, what did he say? She said, he just told me I'm broken. Like basically her attitude is they can't help me. And Dr. Dean is currently
Wait. You said you went to a doctor?
No, she did.
The lady. She went to a doctor. And what did the doctor say?
You're
broken. They can't help her. Her back, you're broken. You've got three breaks. It's over. They've basically given her terminal status.
What is she supposed to do? Lie in bed or something?
Yeah, she's not getting
back.
Getting me in at night to come and help her. Things like that. And when I try to look what Dr. Dean's product says about her condition, it's all stuff Dr. Dean's working on now, this bone, healthy bone summit, and the way she's tackling the candida. And it's like I've got all this ammunition. I've got this wealth of information because of Dr. Dean. And it's wonderful.
You're going to apply it to her.
Yes, but I'm going to not make that about that. I'm going to do it as I fall in love with her. It'll just come. Yeah. So I'm already looking at her. She's so nice. Such a nice lady.
Is she a nice person? You're saying she's a nice person?
Yeah, she's nice. She's Dutch. So she's already been making little jokes and stuff. And I'm just looking at her and there she's just been given the, sorry, we can't help you. It's over.
Right. And how old is she?
I think she's early 60s, probably.
Early 60s. So how does she move around? If she's got a broken back, what does she do?
She can move, and she wants to move. Like, I have to help her up with a frame. And she will try, and she doesn't want me to help, and she'll say to me, I didn't use the frame, I just did it by myself. So it's obviously very painful every time she tries to move, but she does get up and lie down again. Obviously not a lot, but she does try and move.
How did she have this accident? What happened?
She started, that's another thing. I can show through the little bit of research I've done now that if she had Dr. Dean in the beginning, she started with lupus. So there was magnesium deficiency, and then she started getting heart attacks. And she was very young still, to a degree where they had to put her children into care for a period that she had to go for all these heart operations. And it's clear just magnesium would have avoided all of that. It is phenomenal. And now we're obviously down the line. She's had this all her life. So she apparently had carers always during the day, but now everything's turning into terminal cancer. Her bones are going brittle. That's in. She's got three breaks.
Yeah.
And
that's why they broke. They didn't break. She didn't fall. They're just naturally crumbling.
Yeah. And I think one is even, it's a re-break. So it mended and now it broke again.
Right.
And that's just also clear in how Dr. Dean lays it. She lays out how the bones grow together. If there's not enough magnesium, it makes them even more brittle almost. So, yeah, I've had so much learning.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Very, very interesting. But the little messages on the pillow was just beautiful. With love from Connie. I just sat there and looked at it. Wow.
Yeah. It'd be useless.
Yeah.
But Connie applies, right, Carolyn? Well, that's very nice. And what does the pillow say? Thank you, Connie, or I love Connie. What is it?
With love from Connie. I took a little picture. I'll send you that one on Messenger.
Right, right.
Taking little pictures of all these things. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. So I look forward to really upping my drop dosage and the kids. Of course, we're doing so well as it is, and we're going to now try and really keep those lamps trimmed and burning.
Wait.
Lots of drops. Could you hear me? There was a lot of background noise.
When?
Just now.
I hear you. No, we're not hearing any background noise. What was your last sentence?
I said I really look forward to experiencing the effects of upping my drops. Because I'm going to...
Right.
Because I've... Yeah.
You'll be able to, should be able to start raising the dead. She sounds pretty dead.
I know, that's what's freaking me out as well. Of course, obviously, if I really think of it, you do want to be able to do that stuff. And but it's marvelous how Dr. Dean gave us all the tools. It's like we're cheating.
What's the last two words?
Gave
us all the
she
tools.
She gave us
right?
all. And she did all the hard work. And yeah. Thank
I
you.
Did all the hard work. She rode
Bob,
the easy way out. She surfed on my wake. Apologize, please.
Deep apologies.
Yeah, deep apologies. Carol knows that's true. She may laugh, but she knows it's true. She knows it's true.
Oh, it's just all so interlinked, Bob. And the way
yes.
it shows up in one's experience just proves everything's just
ductility, right,
and it's not linear, and there is no time. Yeah.
That's right. You got it. You got
thank
it
you,
down.
Thank you. Getting down with it.
Yes, yeah. Well, I asked Bert to send in a question, and he hasn't sent in a question. I guess he's busy at work or on the bus or something. He can't communicate. What time is it, Carol? 10:02? I got 10 minutes there, Sean. Entertain me some more.
Okay, my biggest thing with McLuhan, for me at the moment, the most spectacular thing I've seen, or that a revelation with McLuhan for me, is his view on narcissism. And
narcissism.
I think it's on narcissism. He solves everything,
right.
And I still see it like that now.
Yeah.
That's even you said earlier they don't believe the medium is the message, and that's McLuhan's take on narcissism, and the narcissistic, the individual narcissism crisis we're sitting with today.
Yeah.
But if you take McLuhan's view on what narcissism is, it's not what everyone thinks it is.
Right.
Then
right.
it applies.
Yeah.
That it's, that Narcissus, I don't know if that's the way
Narcissus.
To say his name.
Yeah, Narcissus.
Yeah, Narcissus. Yeah.
Yeah.
He fell in love with the image of himself.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right.
Everyone get that. But he didn't know it was himself. He didn't know it
yeah,
was him.
Yeah, he's an extension. Yeah, people, when they
yeah.
read books, they don't know it's an extension of the eye.
Yeah, and that's what you said. They don't believe the medium is the message. It's the same
right.
thing. They don't, like he didn't know it was him. They fall in love with the image. They fall in love with all of these things. But it's not, it's narcissism, but it's not self-love because you want self-love. And I couldn't understand, with narcissism, where do you draw the line from a good you have to love yourself,
right?
But now if you do it too much, now you're a narcissist. So now
yeah,
there's a degree, and I could never like okay.
Yeah, I understand.
And,
yeah, it's kind of it sounds
yeah.
contradictory from Ion.
And then McLuhan solved it right there with that.
Yeah, because you're
really really good.
You're not recognizing that the new environment. Like he saw himself in the pond. He didn't know that was an extension of him. So it was new for
yeah.
him. So he fell in love with the new extension, a new environment, and never found out it was him. So you have to recognize,
yeah.
you know, so that for the global narcissism, we need to recognize that media are extensions of us and of inner faculties, inner powers. And therefore you wouldn't stare at it or listen to it so much.
And you can control it. You're in charge of it because there's nothing to push
yeah,
against
turn it on
inside
and off.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah.
You got
that
it.
Was so
well, that's not interesting that Ion laid out a dilemma for you and then McLuhan solved it.
Yeah, it's you can put it on the God thing as well. We don't recognize ourselves as God. It's just pushing.
Okay, so. We don't recognize, like,
you make an extension of yourself. We don't recognize the universe as an extension of us.
Yes, and we worship a God outside of us. We fall in love with the image and don't recognize it's us doing it or it is you. You're the creator of it.
Right, so you don't recognize that God is an extension of you because it's presented as something outside of you, beyond you, mysterious in relation to you.
So
today, modern media are the new God, the new variation. It's the new religion, the new pagan celebration, is the new entertainment media. They're the new gods or things that people don't recognize come from them. They might think it comes. It's, oh, well, these are stories about us. And advertisers look into focus groups and find out what people are interested in, then reflect it back. But that's about the content. They don't recognize the forms of media are extensions of the forms of their senses. And then you can figure things out when you know that. You can think through all kinds of interesting points, and then you update it with the five-bodied knowledge. And then you update that with the ion knowledge. And there you have it, the BERT program. McLuhan, Bob, ion. That's how it fits. Are you still there, Sean?
Oh, yes. Yes, sorry. There was a dog barking, so I just muted while he barked. But, yeah, then from there, it's just go, go, go. There's no going back. And it becomes also interesting. Noticing as well the effects on the general population, and you don't have to yourself get drawn into it. You become a super psychologist almost.
Yeah, listen to this.
Which is not
Bert
a good word.
A question. Bert says, I got pulled into a fatic session with my boss. I read in the Trivium that McLuhan stated that there was only pagan education before the church developed education. Was this accurate? Well, there's every culture has its educational system. So before the church, when it showed up, it started separating itself from people. And those that weren't the church, they called pagan education. But if you read LaRouche, all of the saints of the Catholic Church or of Christianity, all became experts of pagan education. They had to figure out how to put on the local pagan cultural knowledge and then, you know, embed it with Christian information, update it. So all education is pagan. Your motive determines whether you are not a pagan or not with what you use and know. And that's another extension of the medium is the message. If you use pagan education to dominate people, to fool them, to confuse them, that's a nefarious project. Now, the Christianity claims that they educate people for non-narcissistic reasons, for spiritually healthy reasons. But that got confused when new media came along. Then Christian literate education wasn't sure of itself anymore. So then they got angry, and then they tried to impose the Catholic education or Christian education on public schools. So it's all mixed up. But pagan education is any education that's not Christian. I'm a pagan. No, we're not. We include Christian education. People wouldn't agree with our interpretation of the Christian Book of Revelations, but we're pagan and Christian. And
I find this interesting. The verse in the Bible that says not to use mediums and that it will corrupt you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which verse it is, but I can find it. But the Christians look at that as using mediums, clairvoyance, and going for palm readings. Yet they're busy doing websites on the Android meme and websites, which is mediums. They're using the mediums.
They're using astral mediums in the modern media board.
Yeah, and if you read that verse again, it will corrupt you. It's what McLuhan said. That's what he was warning.
That's right.
He said the same thing.
That's right. Yeah, if you use knowledge to numb yourself and don't recognize the extension of your powers, then you're a loser.
Yeah.
Sweetheart.